Welcome, this is Carly Anderson, and I'm delighted to share with you some knowledge about how to establish the coaching agreement. I believe our role as coaches is to support our clients to uncover and discover the best version of themselves. As someone who's been a Master Certified Coach since 2004, I've been coaching full-time since 1999. I was a mentor for credential applicants for ICF, for MCC, PCC, ACC. And what I've realized is that as coaches, we have a responsibility. And there's four bullet points here that I feel capture that, which is we have to continue our personal and professional development. We need to keep advancing our understanding of coaching skills. We need to integrate core coaching competencies so that we have a standard, a professional standard that we are always upgrading. And most importantly, to upgrade our own presence. They will do a little bit on presence in this presentation, but there's another whole presentation on that. So upgrading our personal presence is really about who we are and how we show up as a coach to our clients. And as an ICF assessor, I listen to a lot of coaching sessions from English-speaking people from around the world who are going for their credential. And so I've developed a lot of this expertise in what us coaches can do to upgrade the coaching agreement and our understanding of that. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. If you want to learn more about the mentoring, the mentor coaching group that I run with my partner Karen Boskamper, you can go to carlyanderson.com and there's a link there, or go to thementorcoachinggroup.com. So let's dive in. The purpose of establishing the coaching agreement, from my perspective, is very simple. It's really to help the client to reveal a meaningful or dynamic gap from where they are now to where they want to be in areas of their business or personal life that are important to them. Now, the real key there is dynamic gap. We all have gaps or things we would like to change in our lives for the better. Maybe there's things we don't like, maybe there's things we want more of, and not all of them are we ready to do right now. So what's the juice, the energy that we have? And they're the things that I call a dynamic or meaningful gap. And they are the things we want to be listening for in our clients, because that's what will help the client move forward, is when they have energy for it, or they can find a reason to move forward and they find the meaning in it through the coaching maybe. So the coach then keeps their focus on what the client's agenda is throughout the session unless the client changes it. So here's the agenda that I have for this Establishing the Coaching Agreement product. We'll cover an overview of the target approach. We'll do a little bit on the impact of our mindset on establishing the coaching agreement, how the distinctions of who and what play into establishing the agreement, and then how the coaching agreement works. I'm going to be doing that in quite some depth. So those four bullet points form the first segment of this product. There will then be a second segment which will have other contracting components. You will be able to review recorded coaching sessions that you can then evaluate and pick what you've heard through the coaching agreement in the actual coaching that you hear. And then there's some addendums, there's credentialing markers and other things that will be included. There's a third document that will give you ACC, PCC and MCC skill distinctions. So you'll be able to have quite a comprehensive understanding of establishing the coaching agreement by the end of this. And the purpose of all of this is to enhance, upgrade, maybe validate for you your coaching skills or your use of the core competencies, and fine-tune your ability to work with the coaching agreement effectively. The photo there is under the ocean, looking up at the ocean, and there's such a depth to the coaching agreement, just like there's such a depth to the ocean. It looks like this, you know, the surface looks fine, but when you get below and you see all the activity going on, that's like the coaching agreement. There's so much that you can get from really diving into understanding the coaching agreement that can be of service to your client. And that's what we really want. That last red bullet point there is to be of the best service to our coaching clients. So let's go into the overview of the target approach. First of all, this is a list of the 11 core competencies. And then there are something like 66 sub-points that go under these 11 competencies. That's a lot to remember. And from my experience, this is not how you go through the competencies in real life. Sometimes when I'm listening to coaching and assessing coaches, their coaching sounds like a checklist like this. Oh, I've got to check ethics. I've got to check, you know, do the coaching agreement, trust and intimacy. And they go down the list and it feels mechanical. It doesn't feel connected, doesn't seem like it's actually flowing. So instead, I came up with the model of the target approach. And I'm not going to go into this model in this presentation because there's another whole presentation that you can access in my store at carlyanderson.com/store. But know that I will be referring to the target approach. And especially what you'll notice is that the establishing a coaching agreement is an application competency. To me, it's an application rather than a core competency. And the target in there represents core competencies. And we'll be going into just a couple of those core competencies, but mostly we're staying with establishing the coaching agreement over there. So more on that if you want to get that at the target approach on the store site. So let's move on to the impact of our mindset. Again, I'm going to do just a little bit on this because I want to do a whole lot more in the coaching presence product that I'm creating. I guess, again, you'll be able to enhance, upgrade, and validate your skills. That's the purpose. So coaching presence is really at the core of our mindset. And coaching presence is defined by the ICF as the ability to be fully conscious and create spontaneous relationship with the client, employing a style that is open, flexible, and confident. When you even just read through that definition, it gives you a lot of clues as to the mindset that is most supportive for a coach to have. Employing a style that is open, flexible, and confident. So what do they mean? That's something for you to explore. I say that the most important part of coaching presence and the mindset to have is connection and partnership. Connection comes in two ways. We're connected to ourselves and connected to our intuition and knowing. And we're also connected to the client and listening for not only their words, but their energy, their tone, their shifts, their pacing, their use of language. And we are inviting the client to be in partnership with us. Teach us how you want me to coach you. Let me invite you. How do you want to move forward next? That's all partnering. So the mindset that we bring affects how we go about establishing the coaching agreement. If we hold this place that we have to be the calm center, you know, we are the observer, but we're there being like this photo, Zen. You know, it's like we have to be open, flexible, willing to hear as much as we can, both of what is being said and what's being sensed. Oftentimes, this is how we feel instead. We feel like we're trying to understand everything, our head is full, and there's just so much that we think we have to pay attention to. So it's really important for us to sort of examine our mindset and do whatever we can to be as clear and clear and clear, like that lovely photo there. A clear vehicle for our clients to have as their partner in their coaching of what's important to them. So I'm already going to give you some integration practice. I'm already going to sort of suggest that I stop talking and you get on your horse and do some work. So take some time just to reflect on your beliefs or assumptions about what you think a coach is supposed to do or they're not supposed to do when establishing a coaching agreement. For example, do you believe the coach has to make sure the client is really specific on what they want to accomplish? Or do you just start coaching with whatever they say? Do you think a coach needs to ask more questions and explore their topic further to understand what their desired outcome is for the coaching session or not? What influences you in how you go about listening for the coaching agreement? Without doubt, this is the most fascinating thing when I'm listening to sessions that I'm assessing, is what the client actually says they want to focus on versus what the coach hears. And the more we can understand where our assumptions and beliefs block us from hearing what the client actually says, is a good thing for us to know about. So you can pause this recording for a couple of minutes and just take some time to reflect on that. And when you're ready, you can resume the recording. Welcome back. I'd like to move into, I think, a distinction that makes a big difference to how you go about the whole coaching session, but especially the beginning, setting the coaching session agreement. What plus who? So, what and who are a balance. We're always looking for and listening for what the client wants to accomplish, what they want to have as an outcome. But also, we're listening for them, who they are, what their strengths and values are, how they think, how they feel. So, coaching the what is more of a linear problem-solving mindset. It focuses on the client's circumstances, their situation, their environment. It's almost like strategizing. You know, what do you need to do? How do you need to handle that? Who do you need to speak to? What's the next step? That's all very linear problem solving. And you can hear the coach who's in this type of mindset down in the ditches with the client trying to solve their problem. Now, that may not be the most useful place for a coach to be, because the client needs to have a different perspective. And if the coach is getting into linear problem solving, then they're not likely to help the client find different ways to handle their situation, which is where coaching the who comes in. Who are you? That's always what we are seeking to understand in our client. We are actively listening in the background always for who are you? Who are you really? So that curious partnering mindset, which seeks to uncover and discover the client's way of being. What are your strengths? What do you value here? What are you passionate about? What don't you like? What do you want to change? Why is that important to you to change? Those are all the things that you're listening for. That's this who mindset. You're really listening for the client's way of being so that you strengthen and bring out the client's ability to find their own best way to handle their problem. And by the way, problem there I've put in commas, because problem is only, again, a mindset. What if there were no problems? What if our clients didn't have any problems? And it was a perspective. It was not the truth. Maybe every situation a client has is an opportunity for growth. So if we approach the coaching session agreement from that perspective versus what do we need to get done and then let's just move on, you may have missed a beautiful opportunity to understand more about the client and help them to uncover what they need to do so they get their own wisdom, their own answers. And you can then add to it, you can help them, but who is where the transformation is possible. So a little integration time already. I'm going to stop talking again and get you back on your horse. But reflect on the continuum from what to who coaching. Where do you mostly gravitate right now when setting the coaching agreement? Is it more on the end of the what and just getting down to the strategizing? Or are you really understanding who the client is so that they can figure out how to solve their own problems? And what might need to shift in your thinking or way of being to be attending to the who more than their what? And what are you going to do to make that shift happen? These are all mindset shifts. Different perspectives, different ways of viewing things, different beliefs we may have, and we can change our beliefs around what we think we need to do as a coach. So take a few moments to reflect on that, write anything down that you want, and when you're ready, come back and continue the presentation. Welcome back. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts of how the coaching session agreement actually works. This is the definition that the ICF has of the establishing the coaching agreement competency. It's the ability to understand what is required in the specific coaching interaction and to come to agreement with the prospective and new client about the coaching process and relationship. Now, I consider them part one and part two because they're two distinctly different agreements. Part one is the specific coaching interaction, and the majority of this presentation is going to be about part one. I want to just briefly address part two, to come to agreement with the prospective and new client about the coaching process and relationship. To me, this is more in line with understanding ethics and professional standards. This is what you do when you're looking for chemistry and contracting with your client. Is this a client I want to work with? Do we have rapport? Can we build trust? And the contracting, what do we need to put in place to understand what's being delivered, what the client wants out of this, put together maybe a coaching plan, understand and let them know what coaching is and isn't, creating boundaries between coaching and other types of modalities like training or teaching or consulting, maybe even therapy. My little on the right there with the jigsaw puzzle is transparency. Be transparent about your process, how you coach, what your way of doing things is to see if it's a match for the client. And most importantly, understand confidentiality. Hey, can you keep a secret? I mean, we really are privileged to hear a lot of our clients' deepest thoughts and feelings, and that's to be honoured. So if we're working, say, in the corporate environment, we need to be aware of where our boundaries lie, what we can say to the sponsor, who may be different from your client, the coachee, and be very, very clear on boundaries. That's all, to me, the second part of establishing the coaching agreement, is come to agreement with prospective and new client about the coaching process and relationship. So I'm not going to address that in this presentation. That's maybe something we'll do another time. So from here on, we're focusing on the ability to understand what is required in the specific coaching interaction. And this slide here you'll see coming up for the next five or six times because I'm going to address each of these pieces below. How this works in real life starts usually with field work, gets into what the client wants, looks at success for the session, maybe why that's important or the topic or the outcome is important to the client, and also gaps or barriers or underlying issues that may need to be addressed as part of the coaching session. Now, once you get past the first coaching session, you have another coaching session, and the first thing you normally do is check in with the client. Have you done since our last coaching session? Or how did you go with your homework or field work? I happen to call it field work. Homework to me feels a little like school. So field work to me is out in the field. That's just my preference. So these are the types of sample questions that you might ask. I'm going to be giving you sample questions throughout this. But note that I'm also going to ask you to come up with some of your own questions. So if you already have some others, that's okay as well. You can write them down. But you want to first of all ask, how did you go with your field work? What have you accomplished since we last spoke? Or what didn't you get done? And what do you want to do about the actions you didn't complete? So a lot of what we do is inquire. If a client didn't do a particular action, it's not up to us to play parent and say, oh, bad you said you were going to do it. No, we say, okay, what happened? What may have stopped you? Was it the right action? Was there some other actions that you feel now are more important to take before you get to that action? So there's a lot of that curious mindset, understanding who the client is, remember, who versus what. So when a client doesn't do something, that needs to get more into the who. When a client just goes and does something, they've probably just got into action and it's the what. So there may be other questions you have, but that's where you start. Now, out of that discussion, there may be opportunities to set the coaching agreement for this session. The client might say, yeah, I didn't get those things done. I'd really like to talk about that in this session, which then moves you into the what of the coaching agreement, which is what do you want to focus on today? So you don't always have to ask specifically these questions, but I find 90% of the time you are asking one of these types of questions, even after you've gone through field work, and the client may say, yeah, I want to talk about that. Okay, so what would you really like to discuss today about your field work? What would you like to focus on today? What would you like to work on? What would you like to move forward on today? What's present for you to discuss today? And what do you want to accomplish by the end of our session? There are all the sorts of sample questions that you can ask to help get to the focus of the session. I personally really like it. I don't always use this one first, but the last bullet point, what do you want to accomplish by the end of this session? But sometimes you have to ask the client more about what's the topic, what do you want to talk about today, and then ask, well, what would you like to accomplish around that topic? Which sort of then gets to the next piece, which is success measures for the session. So to consider this coaching session successful, what would need to have happened for you around this topic? How will you measure success for yourself? So you're listening again for the gap between where the client is and where they want to be around the specific topic that they have brought. Here are examples of what a measure of success might be. Well, I'll know I've been successful in the session if I have a plan, or I will know if I want to do X or Y or something else. Or I'll be ready to have the conversation with my boss. I'll have a plan of how to do something. I'll have figured out what's blocking me or stopping me from doing something. So they're more tangible. So it actually comes down to more specific, and that's what you use then. You may do more inquiry. There may be more than one measure of success. They may want to talk to their boss. They may want to role play. They may want to have a plan for the conversation. So those are the things that you pay attention to, because that's what they want, and that's what we need to follow unless the client changes it. So now we move on to why. I want to pause here for a moment and say that I'm going to be giving you distinctions by ACC, PCC, and MCC in another part of this presentation, a separate piece. But I would say that so far, the fieldwork and the what the client wants are ACC level. Fieldwork, what, and measures of success, you want those three components for PCC level. The rest, including the why and the gaps barriers, is moving into MCC level type coaching. Now you can integrate all of these no matter how long you've been coaching or what amount of coach training hours you had. So I encourage you to work with all of these pieces, because this is where you really give the client value through understanding all of what's present for them to work with in the coaching. So let's move to why, which is more about listening for their coaching plan, their bigger picture. So when the client says, you know, maybe I want to have a talk with my boss, a conversation with my boss, it might be, well, where's this fit into your bigger picture of what you're after out of that coaching? Well, it might be that they want to be promoted to the next level of leadership. So this brings in another core competency, which is planning and goal setting, which is the ability to develop and maintain an effective coaching plan with the client. So by you asking or listening for what's meaningful, why is this important, why is this topic important now, you're really tapping back into the client's bigger picture and their dreams and desires and plans. So some of the questions you may ask, I do like this chicken crossing the road. I dream of a world where chickens can cross the road without having their motives questioned. By the way, a little bit of humor and lightness when you're coaching can be so helpful to the client. Our mindset, if we keep ourselves very heavy and serious, we actually keep our clients heavy and serious. So be aware that you can have a bit of fun without being unprofessional. So some of these questions are not ones you have to ask. The client may have already mentioned some of these things, or you may ask a question or confirm through an observation that you heard something. So the client may say, you know, I really want to have a conversation with my boss, and you know that they're working toward being a better leader. So you might not have to ask. You might just say, well, you know, I understand that you want to be a better leader, so it seems like this topic fits perfectly with that. Is that how you see it? So the questions, here are some sample questions you might ask if the client doesn't already offer you the why. It was, why is this in topic or outcome important to you? Why is it important now? What's happened? What's the meaning to you about this topic? Or what is meaningful even to you about this topic? So that might get more into the who, understanding more of their values or maybe their barriers. How does this topic fit with your bigger picture goals? As I just went through, the coaching or development plan. So you're linking it back to their coaching plan by asking a question like that. What's the outcome you really desire beyond the coaching session? So as I said, the client may only want to be having a conversation with their boss to be effective and show their effectiveness that they can handle things well, that they are ready for more leadership positions, that they are responsible. So it's bigger than just having a conversation with their boss. That just happens to be the piece they're working on today. So let's move to the last piece here, which is gaps, barriers, and underlying issues. I put those all into the same category. You're listening for the client's gaps from where they are now or where they want to be. Maybe there are barriers in the way. There may be tangible barriers, like there could be external barriers to them, and there could be underlying issues, which are internal barriers. So the internal ones are the who, the external ones are the what. Here are some typical questions you might ask as part of establishing the coaching agreement or listen for that help you understand the gaps, barriers, or underlying issues. What do you think might need to be addressed? So when we talk about this topic, what do you think might need to be addressed for you to get your outcome? What beliefs might we need to explore? Or what might you need to resolve for yourself in order to have that? What inner conflicts might you want to examine? So these are just sample questions again to get you thinking. Time for integration practice, and we're going to pause here and then you'll go on to a separate part of this presentation. So each of the five slides for how the coaching agreement works had sample questions. Now I'm inviting you to come up with three new questions for each component. The fieldwork, what the client wants to focus on, what does success mean, why is it important, why now, and gaps, barriers, or underlying issues. So you can stop this presentation. You also have a copy of this presentation in PDF form, so you can go back through the slides and check and see what has been written as the questions and come up with your own. And when you're ready, you can move on to the next part of this presentation. I want to keep acknowledging the ICF for what they do and just let you know that we have, you know, a lot of things to be grateful for. I have a partnership with my partner Karen. You can learn more about mentor coaching group products, or you can subscribe to our coaching brief newsletter. But I'll catch you soon.